Open your Bibles, please, to Galatians chapter 4, our text today, same as last week, actually. Galatians 4, 21 through 31. We'll take another look at the allegory that Paul lays before us here. Scripture says, every word of the Lord is flawless. Hear now that word. Tell me, you who want to be under the law, are you not aware of what the law says? For it is written that Abraham had two sons, one by the slave woman and the other by the free woman. His son by the slave woman was born in the ordinary way, but his son by the free woman was born as the result of a promise. These things may be taken figuratively, for the women represent two covenants. One covenant is from Mount Sinai and bears children who are to be slaves. This is Hagar. Now Hagar stands for Mount Sinai in Arabia, and corresponds to the present city of Jerusalem, because she is in slavery with her children. But the Jerusalem that is above is free, and she is our mother. For it is written, be glad, O barren woman, who bears no children. Break forth and cry aloud, you who have no labor pains, because more are the children of the desolate woman than of her who has a husband. Now you brothers, like Isaac, are children of promise. At that time, the son born in the ordinary way persecuted the son born by the power of the Spirit. It is the same now. But what does the Scripture say? Get rid of the slave woman and her son, for the slave woman's son will never share in the inheritance with the free woman's son. Therefore, brothers, we are not children of the slave woman, but of the free woman. This is God's word. Well, let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you as we come now and open your word that you have promised us in your word. That, Lord, if we seek you diligently, we will find your truth. Lord, we ask today that you would open our hearts. Lord, by the power of your Holy Spirit, teach us, we pray, from your word. And Lord, may we hear your voice and your voice only. We ask these things in Christ's name and for his sake. Amen. Probably one of my all-time favorite westerns, Clint Eastwood movie, The Good, Bad, and the Ugly, has a memorable line in that movie in which Clint's character, Blondie, and his partner in crime, Tuco, the Ugly, are having a conversation, and the Blondie says to Tuco, you see, in this world, there's two kinds of people, my friend, those with loaded guns and those who dig. You dig. Well, on a more serious note, C.S. Lewis in the Screwtape Letters wrote that there are only two kinds of people in the world, those who say to God, thy will be done, and those to whom God says, all right then, have it your way. Paul says here in our text today, there are two kinds of people in this world. Those who, like Isaac, live under the covenant of grace, the man who walks by faith and not by sight, and those like Ishmael who live by works and hope to be saved by their own good deeds. Paul is saying to the Galatians, there are two ways to seek salvation, and everyone, every religious system, every attempt by man to be right with God falls into one of the two ways, either the way of Ishmael or the way of Isaac. Now, I would remind you what we said last week. This is an allegory. This is a story, in this case, an historical event in which Paul allegorizes or attaches meanings to the characters and circumstances in the story. And last week we also said that the mothers of these two boys represent two covenants, the covenant of works in Hagar's case, and in Sarah, the covenant of grace. The covenant of works says to man, do this, O man, and live. The covenant of works says, if you keep the law and even its smallest, tiniest particular, with never failing to obey completely, you will be saved. But in the day that you violate the law in the smallest, most seemingly inconsequential matter, you will be eternally lost. The covenant of grace, on the other hand, says, do this, O Christ, and man will be saved. Jesus Christ, as a part of the covenant of grace, fulfills completely the covenant of works on our behalf. He goes to the cross bearing the wrath of God Almighty for His people. And God, for His part, promises salvation to all those for whom Christ died. Well, let's look today at the two sons, the two ways, the two kinds of people in this world. First, we would notice in looking at these boys that Ishmael is older. Spurgeon said that the legalist is always older than the Christian. If I were still a legalist today, I would be 40 years older than I am as a Christian. We are all born into this world as legalists. George Whitefield said we are all born Arminians. That is, we are all born with the idea that we will work hard and endear ourselves to others and even to God, that God will be obligated to reward us based on our good works. And this is the crucial distinction. Let me make something clear first, something I've tried to make clear several times as we've gone through this book. We're not talking here about obeying the law. Paul makes clear that there is nothing wrong with that. What is wrong is using religion and good works as the means of salvation. The idea that God owes us for our good, even what we consider sometimes our righteous acts, instead of relying on grace. And every man left to himself develops some form of this self-salvation. We could say a natural kind of religion. And it doesn't matter if it is idolatry or ritual or legalism. The root cause of salvation is always the same. It's always based on what man does. And the classic example of this we read this morning. Abraham and Sarah's decision to help out God. God had already promised Abraham that He would make of him a great nation, that a son coming from his own body would be his heir, back in Genesis chapter 12 and 15. But by the time chapter 16 rolls around, Abraham and Sarah were getting a little impatient. After all, Abraham is 86 and Sarah is 76, and everyone who knows anything knows they would have had children by now if there was not some kind of problem. So Abraham lies with Hagar, and she conceives. This is a great example of works righteousness. God made a promise, but man feels he has to help God by doing something. This is the classic definition of Arminianism, and it's reflected in the words of a famous radio preacher of years gone by who said, some 50 years ago now, he said on more than one occasion, as part of an invitation, God has done all He can do. The rest is up to you. You see, if you ask Abraham if he believed God, he would have said yes. But here he is trusting in what he could do, a works righteousness instead of relying on God's promise. Morality and religion are the two most self-satisfying ways to avoid coming face to face with God and His demands. All false religions, even perverted forms of Christianity, as here in Galatia, rely on these two platforms, the exercise of religious duties and morality, to feel good about their self-manufactured self-righteousness. They use these two platforms on which to stand and just sort of use God to fill in the gaps. We need to bring this home this morning to our own hearts and ask, in what are you trusting? We should say Jesus Christ is the ground of our justification, the ground of our redemption. But are you quick to add church membership or good life or honesty or sobriety or kindness and on and on? If you looked at these two boys, if you looked at Ishmael and Isaac as they grew up, what difference would you notice? Well, Ishmael's older, as we said, but what difference as to outward appearance? Well, very little, other than superficial appearance. There was no difference between them as to the ordinances, the visible and outward signs of the covenant. They were both circumcised. In the same way, there is little difference between the legalist and the Christian in matters of outward ceremonies. In fact, the legalist, the one busy working his way to heaven, is often, sad to say, often living a better life than the Christian. Well then, what is the distinction? We saw it last week. One was born in the normal way, born of the flesh. The other was born of the Spirit, born of the promise of God. Ishmael could never be Isaac because it was God who made Isaac different from before he was born. He was a child of promise before he was born, and God will maintain him as a child of promise by his great grace, not through the outward observance of the law. So Isaac illustrates the way of faith, living by faith in Jesus Christ. This was the purpose of God in the birth of Isaac. Everyone knows a 100-year-old man and a 90-year-old woman can't have a son. Paul says in Romans chapter 4 that Abraham knew his body was as good as dead and Sarah's womb was dead. This birth was shown clearly to be of God. This is a picture of how God saves us. We don't save ourselves. Ephesians 2:1 says, "You were dead in your trespasses and sins." Many people acknowledge sin. Many people acknowledge that we are sinners. Those who rely on works righteousness, those with an Arminian theology, think that man is really, really sick because of sin. And there's the medicine there on the bedside table. All he has to do is muster up the faith, muster up the strength to take that medicine, and he will be healed. That's not what the Scripture says. Scripture says you were dead in your trespasses and sins, and dead people can't muster up faith or strength. We must not believe in ourselves or look to ourselves. We are dead. We must rely on faith in Christ alone. It is of God. It is beyond anything that we can do. It is a supernatural thing wrought by God in our heart. We are all so tempted to rely on our own works of righteousness. And often when we think we improve our standing in God's sight, we are only changing one form of works righteousness for another. The thing that can and will make us accepted in the sight of God is Jesus Christ and His righteousness. So what became of Ishmael and Isaac? Well, Isaac received all the inheritance, and Ishmael received none. But Ishmael had a good life. Ishmael earned much respect. He had 12 sons as the angel of the Lord promised Hagar. All 12 became princes or tribal rulers. Ishmael became very rich and great in this world, but he had no spiritual inheritance. So it is with the legalist. He has the respect and honor of the world. Often they are blessed for their legality. Even Jesus said about the Pharisees, they have their reward. Their hands were full of reward. Their life was good. They were honored and respected, as we see of Ishmael and his family. But whenever we look at Ishmael and see his hands full, and they were full, I would remind you that Isaac's wife, Rebekah, was barren until the Lord interceded. And here's Ishmael with 12 sons and their rulers and tribal princes, and he's honored and respected, and there's Isaac with no son, no heir. And when we see Ishmael with his hands full, when we see the legalist rewarded and blessed, I would ask you to think back and remember the words of the old hymn. Nothing in my hands I bring, simply to the cross I cling. It is not by the works of the flesh. It is not by what I bring in my hands. It is not by piling up honor and respect from the world for my piety, for my legal observances. It is only by confessing, as Paul said, I'm the chief of sinners, but I am a child of the promise. I am Isaac, and I will receive the full inheritance because Jesus Christ died for me. Many a good man will go to hell, as Jesus said in Matthew 7. Jesus said, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And in your name cast out demons? And in your name do many miracles? Those are good works. Grand, miraculous works. Jesus said, I will say to them plainly, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. Those grand, miraculous works of the flesh are works of iniquity. And they will go off to hell, all the while protesting the Lord's judgment as they enumerate over and over their good works. But the truth is they bowed down and worshiped their own imagined goodness. Now, God's promise to Abraham did not alleviate his desire for a son. And the promised son did not come for another 14 years. But God's promises are sure. Even in the barrenness of Sarah, God's promise is trustworthy. And there are times of barrenness in all of our lives. There's barrenness relationally, emotionally, even financial barrenness. But the worst is spiritual barrenness. But God says to those who are spiritually barren, who wear themselves out with good works like Martin Luther did, only to realize they have not found peace with God. To those who, like Abraham, have tried in their own strength to do what God alone can do. To all those, God says, trust in me, and I will give you the promise, faith in Christ, and resting in his promise, not in your good works. We must put our faith in God's sure promise, as was demonstrated in the birth of Isaac, and not trust in the works of the flesh, as in Ishmael's case. Well, let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. Lord, how we oftentimes get caught up in our own self-righteousness and our own works and thinking we can somehow endear ourselves to you, that you will somehow be obligated, that somehow the Creator will be obligated to the creature. Lord, drive those foolish thoughts far from our minds. Lord, let us look to Christ and Christ alone, to the sure promise of the work of Jesus Christ, credited to our account as the righteousness we need to stand before you, a holy God. And Lord, as we move and live and work in a world that looks to self-righteousness, who looks to what they can do, who feels that they are righteous because of good works, because of what they have done with their hands, Lord, let us take to them the truth of the Scripture. Lord, help us, we pray. Lord, help our witness to be strong. Lord, help us point them to Christ and to the sure promise, the promise of eternal life to all those who believe in Christ alone for salvation. Lord, may your word go forth. May it accomplish that for which you have sent it forth this day. We ask these things in Jesus' name, for his sake. Amen.